Corinthians chapter 15, your King James Bible. Of course, remember Brother Steve and many others today. Many prayers, amen. You know, there's never a good time not to pray. Amen. So always pray without ceasing. And prayer is something that is just part of the Christian or the believer's life. I mean, it's just like breathing. You know, I breathe. I have to breathe oxygen to live. And so I pray. Same. I look at it the same way. You don't have to. This is Brian's theology. You know, I just pray. I believe in praying, and everyone has a way of the prayer. You know, I pray publicly, and I can pray just by myself in my closet, if you will, so to speak. I can do either one. But the main thing is I pray, and I pray from the heart. It's like a preacher friend of mine years ago. He's done a lot of funerals, an older pastor. Sometimes they'd come up to him, the funeral conductor would say, "Well, what are you going to preach on? And what's your prayer, this and that and the other?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I haven't preached it yet, and I haven't prayed it yet." And so I feel the same way. I can't tell you what I'm going to pray on unless we have a request or something or preach on and things of that nature. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I asked you to go there. I guess I need to go there too, don't I? 1 Corinthians 15, and this morning we're going to talk about the cross. Amen? The preaching of the cross. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll start here at verse number 1. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, turn with me, if you will, begin the chapter, beginning of the book, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will, here, and very familiar verses, it should be, as well as the gospel there that we read, the gospel of your salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says here through this wonderful chapter, has anyone ever studied this chapter word by word and verse by verse? It's really, really good study, amen? Really, really good study. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul here is, of course, addressing some divisions in the book of Corinth, and the book of Corinth with the church of Corinthians there. And, of course, the division is who's greater than who, because there's an ordinance there they're practicing. And I'm going to tell you, folks, that it'll be a warning. When you come to ordinances and traditions of men today, there is always going to be a division on how you do it, where you do it, why you do it, and who's doing it. That's what ordinances are good for. They're good for nothing. Amen? So, here, Paul addresses it. He just brings it down where the rubber meets the road. And you'll find out later as Paul's progressive revelation comes to front. But he tells them something here. The division is water baptism, the subject there. 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize," and "not baptize" there is with water, "but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of" what? "None effect. Now that's very interesting. I mean, that's the mouthful. Verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the" what? "The power of God." Look at verse 23. "But we preach Christ crucified, and the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but of them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." So, the preaching of the cross. When you come to Paul and the preaching of the cross, Paul's gospel that was given to him that he preached centers around in and through a cross. Not your cross, it's not the cross that you pick up, but it's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Paul's gospel centers, everything centers through the cross of Christ. When we come to the book of Acts, chapter 13, let's go there. Paul opens up, and he's in Antioch, and he begins to preach here. And there are Jews and Gentiles and proselytes, a whole bunch is there. And Paul's preaching something. Here he brings something out that I haven't read anywhere else. And he's bringing this out, which I think is very interesting in understanding Paul's gospel. So when Paul preaches the gospel given to him, it centers through the cross. For the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness, but us which are saved is the power of God. In Acts 13, look at Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Look what Paul says. Now, this is not the finality of the message or the finality of Paul's gospel, the mystery, but it is part of it. It's built upon this very foundation. In Acts chapter 13, verse 38, be it known to you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Christ, previous verses, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from what? All things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So I read that to where I could tell you this, to say this. Paul's gospel centers around a crucified Savior, amen? Not that the Savior was rejected, as in he's rejected as being the Messiah, which he was, as far as prophetic truth. But he is crucified on our behalf. He's crucified on the world's behalf. He died for our sins. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Was buried, rose again the third day according to Scripture. Now, when Paul says in verse 18 of 1 Corinthians that the preaching of the cross is the power of God, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but us which are saved, it is the power of God. This foolishness is simply this. It's just silliness. If you have the idea of that, to be plain and to be simple-minded as I am, it's just silly. How could you believe and trust something so silly as some man dying for your sin and sins? How could you believe that? Well, God is so wise and so loving and so merciful and so simple that He puts that in the gospel that saves. Amen? He knows us. He doesn't expect you to be a scholar. Okay? He doesn't give us too much to believe in or to trust in. But He says the simplicity of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins. And when He says sins, how many would that be? Well, the Scripture teaches all sins, all trespasses, not one or two, and that means from every sin and sins, it's from yesterday to the day to tomorrow, He paid that debt for it, all sins. Now, the preaching of the cross is the power of God, amen? And it has to do with Christ, has to do with Him, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That He was buried, then He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Romans 4:25, Paul says, He, Christ, was delivered for our offenses and raised again the third day for our justification. It's Christ. It's the power of God. It has to do with Christ. And when Paul says in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek, that gospel of Christ Paul's preaching there is, as we go along, we can see through Paul's revelation, is based upon Christ, centered around Christ and what Christ is, but most importantly, what Christ has done, thank God, in His faith, faithful unto death, His faith in dying, paying the debt, and believing the Father would raise Him from the dead, and through His blood, there is not just remission, but forgiveness for all of mankind, every man, woman, boy, and girl, thank God. And if however far the galaxy is, however wide the universe is, thank God for all of them people too, amen? He paid that debt. And so it has to do with Christ, and Him alone. See, the preaching of the cross means God's acceptance on His behalf to us. He accepts men and women. The door has been opened. The way has been made. I mean, the way, folks, to salvation is paved. Thank God. It's wide open because of what Christ did at Calvary. It's God's accepting of it. It's what He did through Christ for us. Look with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 in your King James Bible. In Ephesians chapter number 1, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 2 in your King James Bible. Ephesians 1 and 2, Paul says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us in the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Okay, God's plan was before the world began. Okay, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, God's grace, wherein He hath made us, the sinner, the ungodly, the enemies of God, made us accepted in the beloved is Christ Jesus. He did that. Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It is the cross of Christ and God's accepting of that that makes everyone accepted in His sight and can have salvation by believing the gospel of the grace of God. Amen? Trusting that gospel will save your precious soul. And that gospel has to do is centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, and it begins with Calvary. It begins with His death and the atonement that is preached, the atonement that we have today as a very present possession today. Amen. That's the cross of Christ. Look with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 in your King James Bible. In Romans chapter 5, Paul begins here. Man, I just love the book of Romans, so much there. But then again, when Paul says, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Some will say, well, I believe that's for the whole Bible, or I believe that's just for Paul's epistles. I just believe it's for all of it. Amen. You don't have to agree with me, but you just, it's for all of it. Because if you don't, well then, whoo, you're on for a ride, I'm going to tell you. So Paul says here, Romans 5, look what he said. He said here, verse number 8, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Justified by His blood. So He paid the debt. The wages of sin is death. Amen? He paid that sin debt is paid. And that blood makes us accepted by trusting what God done for us through His Son. Amen? His blood paved the way for justification for every man, woman, and boy and girl who would trust the Lord Jesus Christ. It did. Amen. Thank God. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the cross of Christ. You shouldn't be either. That should be your glory. When Paul says in Galatians 6 and 14, God forbid I should glory save in the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I unto the world, that should be your glory. That is not a place of shame and rejection, but a place of power and glory and acceptance because of what God has done for us. Amen. And you don't have to get right to be right. This is not a works-based salvation, nor a works-based atonement. Nor a works-based atonement, nor a works-based redemption, nor a works-based forgiveness. Not your works, Christ's work. Amen, that's what it's based upon. So Paul says, verse 10 of Romans 5, for if when we were enemies, folks, this is good news. So while we were sinners, we were justified by His blood. Amen. What does that mean? What? 2 Corinthians 5 and 19, God was in Christ. Reconcile the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's what that means. He is not counting trespasses against you folks. To anybody, it doesn't matter what denomination you claim, or if you do not claim anything at all in your life. I'm nothing and nobody, and that's what I am, nothing and nobody. Amen? You don't have to claim to be part of anything. But God has concluded all under sin. That He may have mercy upon all. And so He paid everyone's debt. Everyone's debt. And when I see people, folks get arrested for DUI, and I hear folks cursing, use the Lord's name in vain, and I see folks, even this folks who just won't trust Christ. You know, I know many of good people who say they're good, okay? I'm talking about, you know, they're trying to do good. And I just can't believe this Bible. I just can't believe Christ. I just can't believe that there's a deity, right? And, I mean, they'll give to the poor, and this Christmas time's coming up. That's why I'm thinking about they'll go and help and give money and do all they can. Amen. Thank God. Right? But they're just as condemned as anybody else without trust in Christ or what he's done for them. But let me say this, and you don't have to agree with me. Their debt has been paid. God is not counting trespasses against them. Their debt is paid because of what Christ done for them at Calvary. That is what is missing today. The world, the devil, and the religious system will not have you to know that. Will not have you to know that. And so Paul says, verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? By the death of His Son. Did Christ die? He died. So according to Scripture, what just happened? That's what it says. Reconciled. Amen. The gospel has a cross. How Christ died for our sins. So there's a reason He died. For our sins. The Bible says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. So why did He die? For sins? Trespasses? He says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Therein is the gospel, in few words. Verse 11, not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received what? The atonement. Paul goes on down through there and speaks about those type of things. We've now received the atonement. Amen. And that's the preaching of the cross. The second thing, God not only is it through Christ, He not only accepted us because of Christ, amen, it's the gospel, it's the good news, it's the salvation, it's the power of God today, has to do with what God done for us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Has to do with that. So when Paul brings out the preaching of the cross in his epistles and in the Acts ministry, he associates that with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? Is that new news? No. You can read that in your Bible. That's not new news. But what's the new news? Is that we have received the atonement. And that we are reconciled by His death, burial, and resurrection. And that we're saved by grace through faith. That not yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a worse than any man should boast. That God is doing a work through His Son, not through Israel, not through covenants or promises and things, but through Christ. Amen? In Ephesians 1, and I'm sorry to open it up, but Ephesians 1 dives into that idea through Paul's epistles. Brother Steve covers it all the time. Amen? You read it there. It's revelation and things. So the gospel has to do the power and salvation and what God's done for us. The second thing about the gospel of the cross, what's Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 1:18? Let's read it once again together. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but us which are saved is the power of God. You know what the preaching of the cross does? It divides. Right there, it divides. The saved from those that are foolish. God says that if you don't trust what Christ done for you at Calvary, He says it's foolishness. Foolishness not to believe that. And Paul goes as much in verse 17, if you want to do something to add to this cross or hide it or anything kind of work you think, he says you can make the cross of Christ of none effect. As if it's nothing happened. But it did happen. Now, I'm going to ask you, how do you know it happened? Were you there? No. I'm just 52. The oldest person in here wasn't there. No. But the Scripture says it happened. Just like Genesis 1 and 1. Well, you're standing on it, bless God. Aren't you? We're enjoying God's creation. We're here. We see one another. We're on the planet of Earth. We're breathing. You know, if we were a half a mile closer to the sun or a half a mile further away, we'd probably be dead. Couldn't survive that. And science will say, well, that's just how it happens. Life has to be a certain way. No, it happens because God put it there. Amen? And your Bible says that. And so that same God, it says Genesis 1 and 1, is the same God says here, the preaching of the cross, reconciliation, forgiveness and things, the gospel, the good news, and it divides. And God says if they're not to believe the preaching of the cross, which is the power of God, it says you're foolish. It's foolishness not to believe that. Listen, if I could say this, there is nothing else God can do on your behalf to have you saved today. Nothing. Amen. It's like Brother Jerry, he's in a hard place. This is a poor example. And he needs some help. Him and Sister, what's her name? Okay. I'm just giving her a hard time. I mean, I would give them everything that I had. There ain't nothing else for me to give once I do that. And God has given everything He has for a world of ungodly sinners and enemies. He's given it everything He has. And there's nothing else He can do. And He made it so simple. And so when you see a cross on a steeple today at a church house or wherever, you know, folks can put in their mind whatever they want to about that, right? And it's a symbol, you know, whatever you want to believe. But when I see a cross, I recognize that to the preaching of the cross. I do. To me, it's not a symbol. It's not a relic. To me, it's a place where I was redeemed and reconciled by the precious blood of Christ. You know, and that's where Christ's faith comes in. So precious that it is. So precious that Christ is. His faith comes in that cross and what He done for you and I. And so it divides. It divides. It divides those who are saved and those who are not. For us as the saved, we can say, I glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. For those that are saved, you can say with Paul that I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2 and 20, but nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I know this may be a side note, but you can't really trust the gospel of the grace of God without understanding the faith of Christ. You can't do that. Grace will never mean the meaning and the power of it. Can never really, I don't think, you like those two words, I don't think that the believer could ever really be just engulfed by the power of God until you see the faith of Christ and what He done for us. Amen? And so it divides thoroughly without the preaching of the cross and the power of the cross. You know, the body of Christ would be non-existent. Have you ever thought about that? Without the preaching of the cross, we're here for nothing. This is vain and void and, of none effect. The body of Christ could not be here. We could not be part of this. We would definitely not be unified. So look, today you would hope the body of Christ be unified. Well, men being what we are, we disagree on this and disagree on that, and somebody gets hot-headed and somebody gets upset, somebody gets angry. I see it all the time on Facebook. You ought to call that argument book. I refuse to be, why should I put in my two cents? I could be wrong in my understanding of Scripture. That's a thought. You ever thought of that? Well, I could be wrong in my interpretation. So when we put in Scripture wanting to help, if you ever see me put in Scripture on Facebook chronology, on Facebook theology, I'm just trying to implore in the conversation, which I hardly ever do, is just, have you looked at it on this side? Kind of think about that, right? Don't just go, bless God, you're so wrong, you can't find your way out of, No. You're never going to help anyone like that. You need to come with a humbleness and attitude. You know, I could be wrong, but this helped me when I seen it this way, You don't have to. That's right. But see, without the cross, the body of Christ will not be unified. I mean, something that the body of Christ has in common is what? The cross of Christ. What do we open up with? 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. How you're saved, how Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to Scripture. We're unified by that gospel, are we not? We're unified by that. To us, it's not a word, it's not an idea, it's not a philosophy, it's not a good feeling. To us, it is the power of God. Amen. It is the power of God. So it brings, it unifies the body of Christ. Look with me to Ephesians chapter 2 in your King James Bible. In Ephesians chapter 2, the ye's and you's and the words and things, but we're just going to get down to the crux of it. In Ephesians 2, in verse 11, Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called in circumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." That's a sad situation. Amen? How can we have hope in the world when Israel is down the road? Let's just go find a synagogue. Amen. And just be proselyted in. You men, you're going to have to be circumcised. Sorry to tell you. Just the way it is. You know? You got to do all these things. No. Paul's bringing out something here. And it, folks, I'm telling you, it has to start with the cross of Christ. It starts with that. The unification of the body of Christ starts with the death of Christ. The reconciling the world of Christ. Of us to God through what Christ done for us. Now look at verse 12. "That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world." Then may I say right now, I was strangers to the covenant of promise. Yep, didn't have one. Oh, but let's read on. I'd be in bad shape, wouldn't I? If it weren't for this next verse or two. Are you ready? "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by" what? "The blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in Himself between one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body." Who's the He? Christ. "Might reconcile both unto God in one body by" what? "Having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which are far off, and to them which were" what? That's a big verse with just a few words. Verse 18, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So it's Christ, the cross, that brings the body of Christ together. Amen? It brings us who are far off Gentiles, who knew nothing about Paul's accident, who knew nothing about anything, right? I mean, I'm just walking down the road. I'm over here and, you know, I'm way over there in China. I don't know nothing. I'm just going over here to the temple to worship the emperor of China. Somebody comes along preaching the cross in Christ and what God done to me, and I believed it, thank God, and I was saved. Amen. Pretty simple, right? Yeah, it is. Amen. So, you know, I was saved. And He didn't bring up to me, remember Abraham, the covenants of promise through this. Remember all those things? No. If you told me that, I'd been like, all right, let's hear you pitch. What you talking about? I got 7 steps. Be like asking a Jehovah's Witness to come in your house. Tell me how to get to heaven. You missed that. Y'all missed that, I could tell. Okay? So no. So the Christ and His cross, because it's preached this way, amen, brings and unifies us together. And we would not have anything in common if it weren't for that. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at the oneness of Ephesians 4, verse 3. Ephesians 4:3, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Oh, Lord, how that should be preached today. I thought Baptist folks were the worst people to ever get along with one another. I was wrong. I've seen churches busted up over the, and y'all heard it over a piano, sung and I over there. I was like, I just longed for the ride. I was like, the piano don't mean nothing to me. Who wants to play it? Play it. Bless God. You know, and through the years, I learned, right? Take a side note. I learned through the years in ministry and studying Scripture, right? I didn't have that zeal or that type of zeal at the time, but I wasn't pastor of the church. But I thought, and I wasn't like that in my first few years of ministry, but after I go through it, at that time I thought, you know, if I was part of that in my church, first pastor, I'd say, you know what? If you want to argue about the piano, you don't like it, see that door yonder? It swings both ways. That sounds harsh, but I'm telling you, that's the only way you can communicate with some people. If the people in there have a problem with the piano, what's next? They are not in a unity of the peace, so show them the door. Brother Steve, I hope you still love me. But I learned this, right? As a young pastor, I would have never done that. But after a few years of understanding people, knowing people, see you. I love you. Take care of yourself. We don't need you here. Amen. And so, what's Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. So, if he's in you all, he's talking to whom? Saved people. You don't have the Spirit unless you trusted the gospel of Christ. You do know this. Amen? So keep that unity, and that's because of what Christ done on the cross. You know, this today, I've heard the cross preached in my life as a minister. I've heard it taught in things, but I never heard it in person. But one time, and that's the one time I preached it before I started preaching it pretty regular. You might have heard me say that. But it's a sad state of affairs. Right? So when you're on a works-based salvation, the cross of Christ is just another step in that run. Right? It's just another step. It's, you know, here, and here, and here, and here. And finally, you get to here. Right? That's how it is in those circles. And so Paul says we're unified by this cross. And that would not be baptisms, or ordinances, or commandments, or any of those things. When Paul says in Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9, in his same epistle, let's read that, Ephesians 2 and 8 and 9. Paul says here, verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest many men should boast. Paul is, and that, remember what Paul, when he preaches the gospel that's given to him, and the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, it has to do with him. It's always in his mind, in the forefront of his ministry, the cross of Christ. It's always there. Amen? Always there. So, but today, it's preached today, and it's mixed, and it's confused. Let me see what time it is. It's mixed and it's confused with everything else. As I was saying, it's confused. Paul, in verse, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go there again. This is a very, very good example. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So you read here, there the subjects, water baptism, who baptized who and all. So when you put it in the hands of men, folks, when you put it in the hands of men, there's going to be confusion and division. Y'all are awful quiet. I was expecting a loud amen right there. When you put things like that in the hands of men and a table and denomination, there will be confusion and there will be division. I know you have experienced those things. But when you put it in the hands of God, well, bless your soul, it is either yay or nay. Do I need to go to the Scripture? It's either yay or nay. And I say yay. Amen. And leave it there. You know what you have in dispensational understanding? You have the yay and the nay. Y'all are off quiet again. You have the yay and the nay. God said no, and He said yes. It's us for us to read it. When my daddy said, son, do this, there was no misunderstanding. My mama whipped me often and made me cut the switch. You've ever heard that? I'm a living proof. That's how it run. Right? And we had a fence. And on the other side of that fence, Dad did not take care of that field. Probably because I was too little to take care of it. Brian, go get me a switch. Drug out there and get it, cut it, come back and break it on me. Did I deserve it? Yeah, I did. I was a boy, right? But it was, my point is, yay or nay, amen? And I respected my mother, I respect my daddy, and I respect this King James Bible. Amen. It says things in here that I don't like. Paul teaches things in Ephesians and Colossians. And I go, doggone it, Paul. But you know who's really writing it? Who? Holy Ghost. Amen. Holy Ghost. And so we take it as that. And so Paul says, 1 Corinthians 1:17, he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So if Paul's preaching the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew to John, well, Paul's wrong. I'm just going to tell you right now, preacher. But if he's preaching that gospel that has to do with the cross, Paul's right. And you know who else is right? Who is right? God. God. So, I know it's simple, but we are simple people, aren't we? Okay? He said, but the preacher got, not with wisdom of words, but lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect, for the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness, but thus which are saved, it is the power of God. And so, that division today, because folks go in back into the Scripture, they want to read the cross back into Matthew to John, they want to read the power of the cross and the preaching of the cross, listen to what I'm saying, the preaching of the cross and the power, back into Matthew to John, back into Hebrews and Revelation, which you cannot do. New covenant, the redemption, no new news there, right? There's nothing new there. Those things are there. So it's always, folks, they go back in Matthew and bring it there. So we get there, have you heard this saying, it's a works-based salvation. So that in Ephesians 2:8-9, you say, by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But that's not enough, because they're leaving out the preaching of the cross. They think you should come up and or somewhere and ask God to forgive you daily. I've heard that all my Baptist life, right? Sonia, tell you, I never once preached that. Never once taught that. Never once believed that. Silly, simple-minded me could never teach that. Because I knew what the Bible said. I was forgiven of all trespasses, Colossians 2:13. For ye, when you're dead in your sins, the circumcision of the flesh hath they quickened together with him. Him's Christ, being in Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses. And I didn't understand, you know, everything about dispensational truth. But I could read my Bible, and even then I would go, well, that is not Matthew 6:14. Amen. Or 15. What's Matthew 6? He said, if you forgive your trespasses, your Heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses. If you forgive not trespasses, your Heavenly Father will not forgive you. So, you know, that's different, right? And so I understood those things. So you have this works-based salvation. Things are mixing these two gospels, this meshes together. I've heard this, if your faith can't get you to church house, how can it get you to heaven? You ever heard of that? Where's the cross in that? It's nowhere to be seen. Words mean something. It takes about that long for me to know where a preacher stands. It takes about that long for me to know where a teacher stands. Like that. And all the time I have pastor friends, come to church, son, your presence, the church needs you and the pastor needs you. Well, I pastored for many years and I never once thought I needed them. I'm there to provide the teachings of the Bible. Amen? There. And so the cross, but the cross puts you in that position. What I'm saying is the cross of Christ, when you recognize that, it puts you in a position where you have something to preach. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. So if the cross is preached, it's the power of God. It can be believed in. If it is not preached, what can it not what cannot happen? It cannot be believed in. See? So there's where most are today. And so when one mixes this message Paul preached, and one mixes the message of Matthew to John, Hebrews to Revelation about the kingdom and the new covenant on kingdom truth there, well, you find those type of things. You see those things all the time. And what time is it? Just a few examples of here I want to bring up, and I've got, looks like I've got 20 minutes. Not really. I've got 25. So, if you leave out the cross, and you want to go to that kingdom truth and kingdom ground, you have verses like this that we want to bring in. Okay, let's go to Matthew 5. They have the verses like this. All right, Matthew chapter 5, the Lord is saying His kingdom saints, if you will. Verse 17, think not I'm come to destroy the law of prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass in the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever thou shalt break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So they take those things and a worse base salvation, right? They enter the kingdom. Your righteousness, things that you do. But Paul in the Bible, and folks, let me say this, and I apologize in advance, because the Bible teaches all through that your righteousness is this filthy rags. That's not a new revelation, folks. Your Bible, when Paul quotes in Romans 3, verses 10 down through there, he is quoting what? Scripture. But how did God deal with that? Man's righteousness and this all man's salvation preached on the cross is through the blood of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 3 in your King James Bible. And this has to do with the cross. Now, Romans chapter 3, Paul brings it down from verse 9 down. In verse 20, again, this is a progressive revelation. We're not there in a full revelation. There's some things going on here. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law there's not just sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and put all them belief, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier him which believeth in Jesus. See, the blood of Christ, which, thank God, paves the way for men and women, ungodly sinners, to be righteous in the eyes of God because of the blood of Christ that He shed at Calvary. You see there, so Romans 5, Matthew 5, there is talking kingdom saints. It goes on and on and on and on and on. They take verses like that. And they want to apply them today. It's Matthew 24, verse 13 and 14. He that endureth in the end, the same shall be saved. The Lord's talking about the tribulation, the day of Jacob's trouble going on, wrath, enduring, overcome. Revelation chapter 2, give you a few verses. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. He says there, he that overcometh shall eat of the tree of life. Revelation 2, 3, and 4. He that overcometh, he that endureth in them, he that keepeth my commandments. That is going on all through the book of Revelation of the kingdom and the world to come. You pick that up in Hebrews. Peter First Peter, Second Peter. Well, First John, Second John is what? All about the world to come and the indwelling of the new covenant. All those things to come and what's going on. There's a cross there for them. But it's not the cross that we believe that we are justified by faith. That we are reconciled. That we are saved. And we are through those things. His body and those things. And I'm going to close with this. This is very simple, but I want to bring it out. Years ago, I picked up a commentary. It's before I had any sense. I don't have much, but I have more now. I'm going to ask you, do you know why there's so many commentaries? Well, sure. Because everyone's got their own take upon interpretation, right? And I'll say this. If you have a doctrine you want to believe in, you will find the commentary and the commentator who believes just like you do. You will do it. And so I picked up, I said, I am going to study the book of Hebrews. This has been 15 years ago. I'm going to study it. I'm going to learn it. And I got about halfway through the Hebrews chapter 10, and I closed my Bible, and I closed that commentary, and I said, there is no way I understand this. There is no way that I know what is going on there. This does not make any sense to me at all. And what got me was Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go there. That ain't the finality of it, but that's where I stopped. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Not verse 25. Every preacher I ever known in the denomination, well, he get on 25 and they can ride this from here to China. Look at verse 26. This is what it was. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more what? But a certain fearful looking for a judgment fire in the nation which shall devour the adversaries. Now my same mountain lingo is coming out right there. Okay. And I read that and I go, man, I'm saved. I am forgiven of all trespasses. Okay? He's coming back to catch me up in the catching away of the church. All right? I've trusted the gospel, the grace of God. How can I go through and understand and apply that to that? Well, you know what I found out? I didn't find it out then, but years later I found out that is not dispensational. That's dispensational misunderstanding when you apply those two, these differences. That right there to say, if you're Israel living through that Antichrist and stuff, and Christ, the next step is Christ returning, you go, now that makes sense. Because He returns, He's not bringing a sacrifice no more. Amen? He's bringing a kingdom and judgment. Right? No more sacrifice. So if you're Israel and you're those people, and but the next thing is Christ returning, you're going, I better endure. That goes along with enduring, doesn't it? And so I look at that and I go, no. But then I go to 2 Corinthians 5:19. That's where we went. This is where we're going to stop. Now, am I bringing out new revelations to you? I am not. But I am preaching the cross. As if it can ever be fully preached. Amen. And understood. It can be understood. 2 Corinthians 5. And I see that and I go here. These wonderful three verses that can change a life. They can. That can change your understanding of the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses. When I say that not, I went, wait, amen. Woo! I get old dry Baptist standing up in the morning. Amen? Hey, I wasn't dry. I was always easy to get excited about. I was easily excitable, so to speak. I said that wrong. Amen? Easily excitable. Not impugn their trespasses, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray in Christ that be you reconciled to God, for He hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us and in no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. When I read that and that, I went, you know, that's not the power of the cross that Paul talked about. Amen? And I'll tell you about the cross. I had a conversation with a gentleman. I said, God's not impressed by your feelings, brother. He's impressed by you trusting what He said for you. What He said to you and what He's done for you. Your feelings can up and down, and your emotions can up and down, and your understanding can up and down. But I'll tell you what doesn't change is what He's done for you at Calvary. And that's the power of God right there. The wind changes, the world changes, life changes, but that cross never changes. It's done. And that cross that Paul preached has to do with the gospel that Paul preached. I wasn't there, but I believe it. God bless you. Most important thing you can do in your life today is to trust Christ for what He's done for you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. You are